This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Yes, so welcome guys, this is the Brentford v Leicester preview. We're playing them on Saturday. We've just come off losing 3-1 at home to Chelsea, really. Tough match. Fires got sent off in the end, which was, you know, I think it was the right decision if you watch it back and play back.
I must admit, obviously we were going to get into more topics, but for me, I'm not too sure why that was a yellow card for the second offence. I saw the challenge and he didn't even touch him. He didn't even touch him. Their player ran over him after he was on the ball.
I think it was just a rash tackle, because it's from behind, and it's a rash tackle, and it does stop one of their players. I think it was an unnecessary challenge, which is probably why it was a red card, because I think it was a second yellow, so that was just one thing anyway. So obviously, the whole round performance, you know, we hit the post two or three times in that match. Obviously, Dewsbury had a sitter. So if buts and maybes, but we did come away from it with a 3-1 loss against Chelsea. Obviously now we're going into Brentford this weekend, which is our last match before the international break. I just want to talk about some topics I've got here. The main one for me is, could it be Rodgers' last match? Say if we were to lose against Brentford, it's a great time to sack him, because obviously we've got international breaks, so it's a good amount of time. Obviously, we look at the Leicester players, there'll be a handful which won't go, or will go to the... national club, but there'll be a lot of players that will still be around Leicester. You know, a lot of the first team that we have at the moment will still be at training at Leicester. So if we were to just get to Brentford, really, do you think Rodgers could get the sack, or do you think we're just going to stick him out to the end of the season?
Well, you know my opinion. I think we should stick him out to the end of the season, and then I would say maybe the best choice is to let him go. And don't get me wrong, I can see it happening. I can see him getting rid of him anytime now. Probably after the Brentford game, but like I say, I've always said for me, it's just a bit too risky. But I understand if he would go now, and I hope if he does get the sack, somebody comes in and hopefully changes it around. But for me, it's just I look at it. I think Brentford, as much as they are incredible at home at the moment, and they're not lost, and they don't know how many games at home. They're still there for the taking. And they've dropped points the last two games to Everton, and I can't remember who else. But yeah, they've dropped points. I do feel like we could get a draw out of them. But again, that's not them losing at home. We are drawing to them. So for me, a draw is good enough against Brentford, and it's a point going up on the table.
Yeah, I mean, talking back a bit about the whole Rodgers situation, obviously Brentford, they're a tough game. They're doing well in the season. They've not lost at home in a while. They've been undefeated for quite a long time, obviously, until Everton. It was 13 games on the bounce, undefeated, until they lost to Everton, which wasn't good for us, to be honest. We could have done with Brentford beating them again. But I think another key issue from the Chelsea game I picked up, for me, that was the first time I've seen fans boo a substitution. I don't think I've ever seen someone get as much stick for taking Mendy off for Sumare as I did on Saturday. I think that was one of the worst decisions I think I've ever seen subs-wise be made from a player who was, let's be honest, he was one of the only players that was actually running around the pitch trying to get the ball back, for him to take him off in the 60th minute. I think it was a very unusual decision from Rodgers. For me, it seems like he's trying to get the sack, making those changes, because I don't know what goes through his head to bring on someone like Samari, who hasn't played a decent game in the Premier League as of yet, being here for 2 years.
Yeah, I don't know. The way I was looking at the Mendy situation was, to be honest, other than, I don't know if you can remember, the two challenges in a row where Mendy made in the midfield at some point in the game. And that was the only time, really, I really noticed Mendy. Obviously, you can't deny he did have a good game, but there wasn't too much noticeable for me that made Mendy an outstanding player in the match. But obviously, a lot of people did. So I could understand why people were angry when he made the sub. But then again, the way I'm looking at it as well is, Rodgers obviously did this for a reason. I said to Jamie on his show a few days ago that as much as people might not like the sort of Rodgers in charge now, I'm sure and there's no doubt that Rodgers is not putting players on the pitch to lose the game even more. For me, the Maddison situation where he brought on Evans and he brought Maddison off, that was more damage limitation, I guess.
I think one of the big problems with that is a lot of fans, there was 10 minutes to go when that substitution happened, and yes, we were 10 men down, but that for me screams, yeah, we're going to sit back and not, we've lost this game, we're not going to concede anymore. But for me, I would have rather stick Maddison off. I would have done a substitution, I would have put Vardy up front with Nacho and Daka, three strikes up there and lose 5-1, but then go for it, you know, because it's more, yeah, you say obviously the goal difference at this point is what could keep us up, because obviously we've got a little bit better the goal difference than the teams around us. But for me, we shouldn't be in a situation where we have to rely on potentially staying up through goal difference.
No, I get that. And like you were saying, back to the Mendy situation as well, is like, again, for me, like, as much as people don't like Samara either, when you look at it, you think it is the same sort of substitution, which, again, we were moaning out saying it's always the same sort of players. But on his day, Samara isn't bad. Again, it's just when he came on and how bad he played for us,
yeah,
just made it look even worse for him, for me, anyway. But yeah, is there any other topics you want to talk about?
Yeah, I think we'll move on to the next one. I'd say a leader on the pitch is obviously one of the topics. After watching the Chelsea game, Maddison was captain for the game, but I wouldn't say I saw much captaincy from him. I think he's a decent player. Well, he obviously is a great player, but as captain, as far as captain goes, I don't think he's quite a leader in the pitch. I think we saw against Chelsea on Saturday, he did lose his head a little bit, which is something we don't need from a captain. For me, you always need someone like, you know, Big Wes, who's always solid. He'll calm the team down. I think for me, at the moment, we don't have a mature team. I'd love to see someone who's, you know, 30 years old, captain, he's been around for a bit and knows how to settle the team down a bit, which for me, I thought O'Brien brings in a bit more. Obviously, Evans is too injury prone to be doing that consistently. So I think a big issue at the moment from Leicester is we don't have an actual week in, week out captain that, you know, he will calm the team down. And I think that is a big part of where we lack at the moment.
Yeah, like I say, we have lost a lot of that leadership in the team. Obviously, we lost Schmeichel, we lost obviously Big Wes a few years ago now. I don't know how many years that was now, but like I say, that's what I mean. There's been so many players that have left us or now gone on loan that for me, we've just not got anyone in the team now other than like obviously one of our best players in Maddison that you probably would give it to at the moment. Obviously Yori, when he was fit, was given it. So but now you look at it with them out, I don't see Maddison as that sort of captain. He's not the guy to tell everyone what to do because he wants to concentrate on his own game in the game. So now you've got to look at it. It probably is our best chance is Evans. And you know my opinion on Evans. I don't, like you said, he's too injury prone. And when he's on the pitch, for me, he's a bit too slow. And at times he cost us in the back line. But again, he's the only one with any sort of background in how to win games. So now you probably do bring him in. Now phases out and you let him be the captain because he is the club captain at the moment.
Yeah, I think Evans will probably start the weekend. He's not going to pick Soyuncu because for whatever reason he doesn't like Soyuncu. Marty could pick a Marty. There's a chance he could go for him. There's a chance he could pick a Marty Evans and go for a back three again. I think that would kill us off against Brentford if we did a back three of Evans, Amati and Soyuncu, personally.
I do prefer the back three slash back five, because obviously then you do play two up top. You can still play a four at the back with two up top, but it's a bit less in the midfield slash in the defence areas. So again, I just, as much as I want to play a back three, you can't with what we've got in available at the moment. You don't want to play a Marty Evans and Suter at the back. You want to be playing the likes of Soyuncu, Faze and Suter. It's a lot more solid, a lot more
Soyuncu has been available taller. This season. So.
Yeah, and because we know he's not going to play, that's why I would not play a back three.
Yeah, but again, we'll see what happens with that. I think a little positive to take away from the weekend games, Daka obviously got a goal. First time he's started a game in a long time, and he did play pretty decent. He took his chance well. It's about the only thing he did, but it's about the only thing every player did, let's be honest. No one else did anything else. So does Daka make his way into first team alongside Nacho? Because I thought when Daka and Nacho up front played, they played well together, and obviously we created a decent little chance and we scored it. Do you put Daka back into the starting 11?
I do. I much prefer him in the lineup when we're playing top over Vardy. For me, obviously, we saw a few years ago when Ian actually played with Vardy a lot of the time, it did work. But now I think Vardy is starting to lose his edge, I guess, in the clinical area and just being in the attacking the points now. So now it comes down to Daka being the second man.
Yeah.
Behind Iheanacho to kind of help that out. And like I say, he had a good strike and good goal. As much as you could probably say the keeper should have done better on his shot, it was a good finish. Quite clinical to getting in that corner. But again, for me, Daka goes in that team. And then maybe Vardy's back up on the bench.
Yeah, I agree. A goal is a comfort for me. Again, this is a complete Rodgers disaster class, as you put it. Where he took Daka off, he was a better striker than the two, and he takes him off. You know, I think a lot of things as well stem from confidence. Daka gets a goal, and taking him off over Nacho, what's that signal saying to Daka, who's just scored a goal? It must be, he'd be like, well, what have I done wrong? I just scored a goal, why am I coming off? So, for me, I'd start Daka again. I don't know if Rodgers would start him, because I think with Fines being out, we might play a different team. We might go back with one up top, with Barnes and Tete back in. Team, I put my team as Evans, Suter, Ricardo, Castagna, Mendy, Jusbill, Pratt, Madison, Daka and Nacho, because for me, I know we probably won't do it, but I would much prefer to see passing it through the middle of the pitch, sliding it through for Daka, who's, you know, he's got the limbs on him to run and chase after a ball, which is what we saw against Chelsea, but he was just too far on the right side doing it down the wing. For me, if we're more directional with how we pass it, we could create a lot more chances that way. And that's how I'd like to see us. Again, I don't think Rodgers would play that way. I think we're going to go back to Barnes and Tete on the wings.
It's a hard one, because as much as I think, I honestly, as much as it wasn't the greatest game against Chelsea, I thought we played better in certain areas when we played top, because we did create chances again. We just didn't obviously finish them. So now I do go up against Brentford with the same kind of lineup, but going four at the back instead of three at the back. And just like you said, be a bit more direct, because I still think we can play width-wise with, like say, with the KDH and Pratt, because Pratt's playing on the wing for us a lot of the time. As much as he's not a winger, he is fast. I would say he is fast enough to not beat a man, but to get past the man at times, like Hughes Brawl can, because he's strength. But yeah, like I say, Madison putting balls through the middle instead of having to go wide all the time to Tete and Barnes, and then having to try and cross it in with no one being there. For me, it's much better to be a bit more direct.
Through the middle.
Yes.
You've got Madison, you know, you've got Daka, Nacho up front.
And Ian Nacho is not that slow. He is quite a fast man on his day.
He's fast,
so.
And he can hold the ball up strong, which is, again, I think we should play that way. But yeah. This is probably Rodgers. It's one, you know, he's got one thing in his locker, and that's
pass on the wing.
The wings and cross it into, you know, Daka and Nacho, who, you know, can shoot and not header. I'm just going to put this comment by Scott. He says, how many more chances can he give Ward? Danny Ward was a bit of a liability, again, against Chelsea. It's one of those things where we can say, how many more chances can we give Ward? There isn't anyone else really to replace him. You've got Iverson and you've got Smithies. So, for me, I said when Casper went, we should have signed a new keeper there and there, because I didn't think Ward was good enough. He was at 10 years of his professional career.
You really got to look at it and think, how many games would we have either drew or won, then when we have lost, but
if Casper was in
the
team,
if Casper or someone better in goal, because like say the chances that Chelsea had, the first one from Chilwell, you cannot be letting that in.
Yeah, I think rumours as well that Casper didn't want to leave Leicester. He was looking to stay, but he kind of got pushed out the door a little bit. He was, I think he even said he wants to. I think he's openly said he wants to come back to Leicester.
Yeah.
He would come back to Leicester. And I'd take him in a heartbeat.
I think now we've seen how the season has gone with the keeper we've had. Obviously, obviously there's barely a chance in the Premier League. I'd probably like to see it. I think both of us have put him into the lineup for Saturday. Mainly for me because of they are predominantly a Danish side, Brentford. So hopefully that would be an impact, I guess. But like you say, Ward hasn't been great. So for me, you've got to change something. And the less games you've got to play, the more time, the more like what you've got, more pressure is on to change the team at some point. Because you're going to keep Ward in for the rest of the season. That could be a massive impact on why if we lose games or not. Because for me, we probably don't see two of the goals against Chelsea if he's not in the goal.
Yeah, I mean, just looking at the comment from Mosh, you've got Leno or Pope in when they were available. I mean, I agree. I know Reedy's not the biggest fan of Leno.
No, it's not the fact that. But I think both of them were in a situation where at that point of the window, we couldn't afford to do them. We couldn't. We couldn't even get anyone in until later. We had
a money problem for whatever reason, which is hence why Casper went and Ward is the number one. But I think at the end of the day, it's going to cost us a lot more money to get relegated. Than, you know, I think just a little bit of investment. It's not always. I know. Obviously, there's a lot of stuff we're not going to know, but it could have been down to financial fair play as to why we couldn't buy players because we had a lot of wages. I think I saw a stat that we're the seventh highest team for wages or something like that this season, which is a lot considering, you know, we're fourth bottom with 1 point off relegation.
Yeah.
So I would have liked to see a new keeper come in. I would have even liked to see one come in January, to be honest with you. I thought that was really a lacking weak spot in our team. I wouldn't have got Suter and Christensen, which were, I think, two pretty good signings at the end. They've done themselves justice, I'd say, at the moment. They do pretty decent in the team, but I think a keeper is what we really are lacking at the moment.
Yeah, again, I've always said that because we brought Smithies in as a third choice, we're just not going to be looking into a keeper. But if we do somehow stay up at the moment and we do get to the summer in the Premier League, I think we have to look at that situation because it's not good enough. We've conceded too many goals this season, and as much as you say it could be the tactics or how the whole team's playing, it does go down to the more goals you concede, it's down to the goalkeeper.
Yeah.
Obviously the defence can do all they can to keep the ball out of the goalkeeper's way, but when it gets to the keeper, he's got to either stop them or do his best to stop them going in. And at the moment, we've seen so many times where balls have gone in the net and you're like, how's he not saved that?
Yeah, I mean, you saw against Chelsea, Chilwell's first goal, it was, I mean, one, the defender should have, whoever was on the left side should have closed him down. Castagne, whoever was out there should have, you know, obviously the cross came back into the box, but the goal was almost slow motion save from Ward because you see him drop down. It's his corner. That's his goalpost to mark, and he's let the ball go through. The chip goal, I think it was a hard goal. I wouldn't expect many keepers to say it was a good finish, but I think, again, he just didn't try. He just watched it go in.
Yeah, there's so many memes around that now. Just looking at it.
Yeah, he could have at least jumped for it.
Yeah.
Even if it still goes in, he's just like...
Oh, even if he falls over trying to die for it, he still tried.
And then the third goal, I mean, again, the third goal was a bit of defensive error and stuff, but...
It's a good finish, obviously. It was a good finish,
but if you look at Ward again, he's scatterbrained. He doesn't know what he's doing. He's running back, forward, back, left, right. He doesn't know where to go. And for me, he's been doing it all season, and I think it's just cost us one too many goals. I think moving on to the next thing, a bit like you said about rumour, Schmeichel wanted to come back and stuff, is moving that. There is some players that apparently in the club do want Rodgers out because they don't like his tactics. They're not letting them have their own views on the situation. Apparently there was a board meeting on Sunday. God knows what about. Could have been about anything. For me, I hope that if we were to lose against Brentford, that Rodgers does go and we have bring in a new manager. I'm not really fussed who the manager is. I know obviously people say, oh, we need a good manager now in this, but I would just bring in a caretaker manager. And I've seen Craig Shakespeare been pulled up there. He would know the lads. He knows the club. I think for me, he would do a decent job for 10 games. He'd get the most out of them. Martin O'Neill, I've heard that his name has been thrown around out there. He could come back for the last 10 games. I know that you're like pulling faces there, really, because
you I'm just worried that the point of if we do get rid of someone and it doesn't work when we bring someone else in to try and keep us up, I just feel like we've got a bit, as much as it's not obviously solid at all at the moment, there's more solidity. We've got solidity in there at the moment because of how we've set up, and at times we played okay. But the fact is, if we do get rid of it and we do bring someone else in and it doesn't work, it's more the point of
it is a gamble. 7 points.
We've had 7 points since the World
Apparently, World. We've only got 7 points since the
World and two World. Wins there is from Villa and Spurs.
Yeah, so 6 points against in 2 weeks. That's pretty bad by Leicester's stat for what we should be hitting. Like you were saying, with the players wanting Rodgers out in the background, but it is tough to obviously understand the whole situation. Getting a new manager in could sink us as a club, obviously. We never know how
well. I get there is a manager bounce that people always talk about, but I think, again, there's been situations where it's just not happening.
For me, within Leicester, when we've seen a manager do bad and then gets like a new manager comes in, they always seem to do well straight away. For me, I think that, I don't know if that's just a confidence thing within the players, but I would personally like to see Rodgers go and we get a bounce back. And even if we win 3 or 4 games in a row, I think that's all we need, really. We've got to step this season, let's be honest, it's going to be tight at the bottom. They obviously say 40 points is safe. I think that's not the case this year. I think if you're more looking to 30 to 35 points would be, you know, safe, but by marginal amounts, because they're all doing that. So, you know, the same kind of, every team's doing the same, you know, Bournemouth picking up points and they'd lose next week, and we would do the same eventually. We'd win 2 or 3 in a row, then go back to losing 4 or 5. It's quite from Sky at times, really. That's the issue.
No, I do. I do understand that, and I'm all for the players. I've said to everyone in here that for me, it's as much as Rodgers can lift the players and motivate them. For me, I want to see them do it on the pitch. The amount of times I've heard that FaZe or Castagna said that every game now is a cup final. Show it us. I'm sorry, but as much as Rodgers can, we don't know if Rodgers is motivating them or not. Obviously, Sam doesn't think so. There's many fans that say he doesn't, but we don't know that. And for me, I just want to see a bit more fight, like Mendy does against Chelsea. Just put a foot in, just stick your leg in and try and win a ball in the middle of the park. Just try and show us a bit of fight and we'll get up for you. We'll be chanting. And that's what all it takes is for the fans to start backing the boys. We just want to see it for me. And if it happens with Rodgers, it happens without Rodgers. I don't mind. It's just as long as we see some fight to make sure we stay on.
The main thing is Rodgers owes nothing to the club. He's not a fan. Us fans, obviously, we're all passionate about it because it's our club. Rodgers, at the end of the day, is going to get his big paycheck week in, week out, and he's going to get a massive payout. He's never going to quit Leicester unless we got relegated. I think if we were to go Championship, he would quit. But he gets a massive payout if we sack him, which is, I think he's waiting out for that. Again, at the end of the day, he's thinking this is a business move for him. He's not a Leicester fan. He doesn't owe anything to Leicester. He won the FA Cup with us. He'll be looking. I've done all this at Leicester. He'll go out and say after this, yeah, they didn't give me the backing. They didn't give me the money. Look at what I did with what I had. Then someone like Spurs come and get him for the next season. Yeah. And for me, it'd be nice to have a manager that actually cares about the club, like us fans do, because I don't think Rodgers cares about the club like we do.
Well, like you say, there, what Mark says, he says that he has no passion on the sidelines. Like one side, obviously, we know that Rodgers isn't that sort of manager. He isn't a Conte who runs down the pitch when we score a goal. But I would prefer a manager who does that, because we want to see that passion and that fight in there. But we obviously do know that Rodgers just isn't that mad to do that. And we've just got to, I wouldn't say respect it, but we know who he is, we know how he is, so we can't expect anything other than that.
Yeah, I agree with you. Like you say, managers are different, not everyone will be running up and down the pitch. I think that for me, that doesn't matter. It's more about the performances on the pitch, and for me, that's what's killing Rodgers off, is the fact that he's not showing these performances of a manager that we know he can be, because he's obviously proven it in the past. But to move on to end this, really, I am going to ask for a score prediction for the Brentford game, the last game before international break. The team, obviously, there's no fives going to be available for this weekend. You know, where do you see us picking up points? Do you see us picking up points? What is your final score prediction for it?
Against the likes of Brentford at their place, it's always going to be hard. And for me, I'm just going to have to take a draw. I'll be amazing if we can get a win like we did last year when we weren't expected to win there. I remember when Tillman scored an absolute rocket there to win us the game. But for me, I'd take a point there. Obviously, it's not the greatest of points we can get, but I'd happily take a point against Brentford at their place.
Yeah. It's not going to be a clean sheet. I think we know that. The way we play, we conceding goals for fun. Mm. For me, against Brentford, they've not lost at home in a while. Again, they're a good club. I genuinely don't see us getting anything from it, to be honest with you. This is just me. I know I'm being negative and stuff, but I'm just looking at what we've played and what we've got upcoming. I think Brentford's a very, very tough game to go. I think Chelsea for me would have been maybe a slightly easier game than Brentford at home than Brentford away. Playing Chelsea at home was easier than playing Brentford away for me. So if we go in with the same mentality we did against Chelsea, obviously missing Fies, a lot of players out of form. If nothing's going to motivate this week, I'm going to say 3-1 to Brentford. That's my general reaction.
And I think someone commented a bit earlier about Brentford do have Southampton tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
And obviously that's a big game for us as well. So we don't want Southampton winning that.
We need Brentford.
But then again, we don't want Brentford winning that coming into Saturday. So I think out of everything, we probably say a draw is probably the best for each side of it. But then obviously, if you want to look at the league table, we want Brentford to win.
Yeah. We just need Brentford to win and us to beat them.
Yeah.
But I don't see that happening. I can see them beating Southampton. I just don't see us beating them. But anyway, thanks for watching, guys. Obviously, keep getting your views and comments in on this. You can rewatch it again. This is going to be a podcast live on TalkSport as well as our own SoundCloud podcast. So, chisel.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bowl and Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bowl and Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bowlandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.